Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Now, I know we have a lot to get to on the football front, but I was just curious if you could take us back to Friday. It feels like, especially from a live event perspective, that the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight seemed to be a huge success. If you have anything to tell us about that, and also I'm curious, like, how does the bidding process for something like this even happen?
Well, of course, that's up to the promoters, and they make all the decisions on this, between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. They put it all together, and we provide the venue. The great news is they were very interested in doing it at AT&T, which is AT&T Stadium, which is, you know, why we ultimately did what we did with AT&T Stadium, is to attract unique events like this, and certainly exceeded all expectations in terms of the interest. And there was a lot of atmosphere, and, you know, of course, they weren't the only event. There was a fight like I've never seen right before that between
Serrano,
two great women fighters, and they put on quite the show. Now it was a battle of battles, and but there were great fights all evening, and I think everybody enjoyed themselves.
How did y'all know that it would transform from what seemed like kind of a joke at first to like an actual big time event that folks were really looking forward to? Because it definitely was.
Well, we sat, you know, that's what, our guys do, is we all sit down and look at potentially what the baseline is and that what it potentially could be. And they were walking us through it all. And, you know, we felt really good that it would be solid enough that it would be something great for our fans, our sponsors, our suite holders to, have the opportunity to have access to. And so it worked out great. And, of course, I don't think anyone expected it to hit the type of levels that it did, both from the standpoint of the attendance at the stadium as well as the viewership, understanding 60 million different people tuned in, and that didn't count, the numbers of people, but 60 million access points, which, of course, was amazing. And I think it turned out to be a very unique and a special event.
I know y'all are especially invested in broader NFL issues as well. Do you have any concern about the Christmas Netflix games? Because of, while it was a huge success, Netflix, like from a technical standpoint, did have a lot of issues with that. Does that give you any pause about the Christmas games that'll be on Netflix?
You know, I think it's like anything. The great news is that's one of the reasons they were looking forward to it. We actually, of course, felt like the fight might go off last summer, but Mike Tyson had some significant health issues that he was able to overcome and bring it together this fall. But, you learn as you go here, and obviously the streaming that is going on in our country right now, as well as the world, growing at the breakneck speed it's growing, is very unique, but at the same time backed by very strong people. that want to see this success, and I know they'll do the things they need to do to continue to perfect it. And I thought they did a great job as it was. It did have challenges, but like anything, whether it's cellular service, whether it's anything, when you get into volumes, I know the first time we opened up AT&T Stadium, it wasn't perfect, but we worked and worked at it until we had it down to a point where all our fans would be satisfied with it. I know certainly that'll happen here in terms of the streaming aspects of this, and obviously we're expecting some really big numbers in terms of the viewership on Christmas Day. So, but I know they're also motivated to make it right.
Stephen Jones joined us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, your home of the Dallas Cowboys. The CeeDee Lamb did pop up on the injury report over the weekend with the shoulder injury, and there was a back injury on the injury report. Do you expect him to be on the field tonight against Houston?
We feel really good about it, that he's going to be able to play tonight. Obviously, we'll get him out there this afternoon before the game and working through his last aspects of it. But right now, we feel good that he'll be able to play tonight.
How are you feeling about the configuration of the defensive backfield with Jordan Lewis being out? Obviously, you've got some younger players that have been trying to make their way out there. What's your confidence level, and what do you think the defensive backfield looks like without Jordan Lewis?
Well, we've had a good young group that's had their opportunities, to step up at different times this year, whether you're talking about a Butler, a Chemo, any of these guys, have been in training camps and been in competitive situations, and it's just one of the challenges you're faced with. The great news is, going into next week, we're getting ready to get what I think is a whole list of players back in terms of whether it's our cornerbacks, whether it's a Nealon, Bland, et cetera. These guys are right on the cusp of returning.
Is Tank in that group by chance?
Not yet. We didn't have expectations that Tank would be before Thanksgiving, and we'll know a whole lot more about him next week as well in terms of the exact timing, but I don't expect him to be back next week.
In what capacity, Stephen, are you kind of expecting or getting excited for seeing the trade acquisition, Jonathan Mingo, joining this team?
Well, he did a lot of great things this week. He certainly, if you've had the chance to go out to practice and watch him, he certainly looks the part, and he came right in like a pro would, and guy who's played in the league, and showed a lot of interesting skill sets that we don't have. Being 6'2", 220-plus pounds, you look out there and you almost think you're looking at a tight end. But he's a physical player. He certainly has got the speed. He's got good hands. And I know Mike and Shoddy are looking forward to ways, to get him the ball and use him. And now that we've acquired him, and see what he can bring to that receiving corps.
When Tyler Guyton missed the game against the Eagles because of injury, I think we all thought that Awesome Richards had a pretty solid outing for the Cowboys. Is Tyler Guyton good to go again, and is there any sort of like left tackle positional battle perhaps between those two?
Well, as you need you need them all to get through the season, and certainly Awesome's been a guy that has played good since training camp, and he's certainly in the mix there. He's also one of our versatile guys that can not only play tackle but play guard as well. So he brings a lot to the table there, and certainly a guy, that'll figure in as we work toward the back half of the season.
I just keep every week, Stephen, I'm in a little awe of what DeMarvion Overshown is doing. And when you guys drafted him, I was a little like, okay, I'm not quite certain exactly where he fits, but I trusted what Dan Quinn could do. And then he comes in this year and he flashes on the field. His growth from when y'all drafted him to now, can you kind of talk a little bit about that journey for him?
Well, I think actually it started when he came from high school. He started as a safety at Texas and then made his way up. And, he's a football player, and the run hit factors, is blue chip as you get. I think the guy just has a nose for the ball. He's got, elite speed in terms of getting there, and then he just packs a, you know, the run hit factory packs a hell of a punch on arrival. So he's got all the things that in our mind when we were looking at him as a draft pick that make him, you know, a great linebacker. And he's certainly following that pathway and, you know, really believe that he's got a chance to be one of the top defenders in this league. Certainly, you know, at times last week, seeing him and Micah running around, you know, their elite speed, I think, shows up and certainly gives opposing teams certainly something to think about. And as we get more and more healthy on that side of the ball, I think that'll even show up even more. But we're really thrilled what Demo's doing out there, Overshone's doing out there, and feel like, you know, as we move forward, his air is only up, and he will only get better in terms of, you know, what he can do. Not only for the Cowboys, but what he can do in this league.
With the Texans obviously not being stationed too far away from Dallas and the season thus far being a struggle, is there any concern about tonight's game being perhaps sort of neutral in terms of fan makeup of Texans and Cowboys fans?
No, I mean, I understand, you know, we love our fans. And at the end of the day, I know they'll show up and they'll be fired up help us play as well as we can play against what's a really good Texan football team. And certainly hats off to them. They've come a long way in a short period of time, you know, with their draft picks, with Stroud and Anderson and the other group of guys that they've added to the mix. So they're a really good football team. It always makes, you know, for a great rivalry when the two meet, with the state of Texas on the line and what that's all about. So we look forward to a great atmosphere tonight, but know our fans will show up and feel good about what that's going to look like.
Steven, I was watching the Texas and Arkansas game over the weekend, and I was just kind of curious as I was going through it. Is now that Texas is in the SEC, is that Arkansas's biggest rival? Is that the one they focus on, or is there something else there?
Well, I think historically Arkansas is always felt like Texas was one of their biggest rivalries. I don't know that, you know, sometimes you feel like Texas certainly had some other ones.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Including, obviously, OU and A&M, but we've always looked forward to playing Texas. It's a huge deal for the people of Arkansas. It was a huge deal there Saturday in terms of the Longhorns coming in there. You could certainly feel the atmosphere. I didn't actually get to attend the game, but Jerry did, and a couple of others in our family did, and just said the atmosphere was amazing. And but hats off to the Longhorns. They got it done. We, I think, had some opportunities late and some momentum, but didn't quite work out for my Hogs this time. But I've got a lot of family members, including three of my daughters who are Longhorns, and so we've got a little split family going on here. But hats off to the Longhorns and wish them nothing but the best as they move forward and have a shot to pursue a national championship.
Have y'all ever thought about tipping the scales on that rivalry and pumping all the NIL money into Arkansas and really just making this a no contest?
Well, we've got our own payroll, as you know, that keeps us busy. And I don't know that we need to add an NIL to it. The other thing is the NFL certainly has rules on the football side of things that really keep a finger on what an NFL owner can do in terms of NIL, which, of course, as you know, would make sense.
That does make sense.
Come from college, to the NFL. They keep a close eye on that, and it's really difficult to get involved in that aspect of it as an NFL owner.
Appreciate it very much, good sir. Best of luck this evening, and we'll catch up with you again next Monday.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great being on.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan telling us a lot of things. The stakes have been upped for tonight as Texas is on the line.
The whole state.
I don't totally know what that's going to look like logistically.
If we lose, we don't get to be in Texas.
Got to take it back from the Astros.
Okay. I like that.
Who just got a new stadium name, by the way. It's Daikin Stadium now, I think.
Oh, the oranges are gone?
Yeah, Minute Maid is now gone. And so Daikin, I think.
What do they do?
They're a manufacturing company.
Okay.
Based in Osaka, Japan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, are they making a push?
Okay, I don't.
Push?
Oh, dang it. I'll tell you, I'll admit, I'm stunned if they announce that the Astros are moving to Osaka, Japan. I'll be like, wow, I did not expect
that. Or maybe they're just trying to go, hey, we're going to get some big players from Japan.
And you just heard it from Steven right there. Hopefully next week, return of Deron Bland, Marshawn Nealon, still no Tank until after Thanksgiving, but they seem optimistic that some more players are coming back, but if you get routed again at home tonight, I don't know what difference that will really make. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, 3 wins in 2 days, the Mavs and Stars Super Segment. Plus, maybe we'll find a way to save you some money on Black Friday. Next right here on The Fan.
A lot of space here for Kyrie to operate. Step back three. Yes, sir!
You just know it.
I knew it. Kai hits the bullseye.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for the Stars and Mavs Super Segment after 3 wins in 2 days. By the way, somebody asked this question from the 903. Hey, I'm trying to get into baseball cards. Do you have any tips? Go to RJ Dukes in McKinney, Office Central.
Near the McDonald's.
We'll give you more tips in just a little bit and also maybe save you some money on Black Friday. But the Mavs win back-to-back. The Stars win as well. Since we played the Mavs highlight, let's start with the Mavs. And Mike, I'm guessing you want to lean more towards yesterday's game as opposed to Saturday when, man, Daniel Gafford was doing some good stuff.
Yeah, I guess you can look at it two ways here. Daniel Gafford is having a nice streak where he has 7 games in a row of double-digit points, which is the most in his career, which is really nice. And then you can look at the return of PJ Washington last night. And I get it. Like, he has these games where you're just like, oh my gosh, like maybe he could be an all-star. And he did this for Charlotte forever. We talked about it when the Mavericks
traded
for him.
That's what got them in trouble. Yeah, you fall in love with that.
He will have these 20-point, 10-rebound games where you're just like, oh my gosh. And then he'll, I'm not saying he will tomorrow night, but I'm just saying then he'll go to 6 points and 4 rebounds. And you're confused on, hey, how come you could be so great? Like literally, you could argue last night, probably Kyrie would say I was, or Shea, but you could argue he was the best player on the court last night.
But that being said, you're going to need him against Oklahoma City during the playoffs. So knowing that he likes to do this for whatever reason against them, I'll take it.
I will take these 2 games combined here, Kevin, and throw this to you. Jason Kidd knows there's a major issue with this starting lineup.
Yep.
For some reason, it's not working and working at all. So I'm going to give Jason Kidd credit here. Not that he's figured it out, but you can see he's like, what if I start Kleba? You know, he's healthy for 4 games. What if I start him? What if I switch Lively to the starting lineup and Gafford coming off the bench? You know, you can see that he's trying different things. I think Jason Kidd is a very good coach. I've come to this conclusion in my mind. He's a very good coach for having Luka as his main guy, because you cannot have an emotional guy as the head coach if Luka is your main player.
Yeah.
It's impossible. He takes up enough emotions for a whole team. And so I look at Jason Kidd in these 2 games. They got off to a bad start again against San Antonio with no Wemby, and you're just like, why are we so horrible in the first quarter? Now, obviously, Luka didn't start last game. I'm not saying that's the answer, is don't start Luka.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do think I see Jason Kidd with these rotations, with trying to figure out what is the best team, what are the best 8 or 9 guys on my team, and how do I use them, and how do I start them? Because getting down by 5 or 6 points every game after 12 minutes is not a recipe for success.
No, I agree. Look, we talked about that 4-game stretch, right, where they outscored every opponent in the fourth quarter and still lost, which means clearly they were trailing, and in some cases, like the Jazz, trailing a lot going into the fourth quarter. So I thought this was a pleasant change of pace. You know what I really liked about this game? It's not just that you beat a really good team. And make no mistake about it, Oklahoma City is a very good team. You did it without Luka, but perhaps just as important, you did it with Klay shooting terribly. So it wasn't a deal where, like, Klay went 7 of 11 from 3. And you're like, yeah, well, that's why you won the game. He was abysmal shooting the ball. And you didn't have Luka, and you still won the game against a really good team that I'm starting to think psychologically you freaking own.
I'm with you because I thought this. I'm not totally with you. I'm going to play the other side of that story, too. Is I thought the Mavericks were going to lose by 20. And okay. I just thought, going into the game, well, Luka's
sitting
out. They
did last year at these games, right?
And I also thought Oklahoma City is going to want to show these guys that knocked them out of the playoffs when they were the favorite to make it to the NBA Finals in the West. The Mavericks beat them. And they kind of beat them up through that six-game series, especially after game one. They won 4 of the 5 next games and played so well. And I just thought that Oklahoma City was going to have such a high energy feeding off of their crowd. It's a great crowd in Oklahoma City. And it didn't happen early in the game. The Mavericks showed the energy and enthusiasm to compete in this game early. And I thought after the first quarter, well, is this going to last? But it's great news that the Mavericks are willing to fight from the opening tip, which we have seen almost every game this year. They are not willing to fight to start the game. They are willing to your point, they're willing to fight late to try to come back, but they're not willing to fight for 48 minutes. And so last night was a really nice sign. I will now play the other side. Them missing Chet Holmgren and Harkenstein.
Yeah.
I think hurts them tremendously because those are their only two big guys that they feel like they trust. And so when they're missing both of them.
The issue is they're both still going to be out for what, like a month and a half, 2 months. So they're going to be out for a while. You're right.
But if you played them in the playoffs and they were healthy, you don't know who's going to be healthy and who's not. But that would, because Lively and Gafford, I thought, had major impacts in the game.
Agreed.
And it helped out that they didn't really have anybody, I don't know, over 6'9" who was in their rotation.
Now, how much do we need to talk about? This is a great win. Back-to-back win.
Yes.
How much do we need to talk about the last minute and a half of this game? Because
that was none. Scary. None. The outcome was a W.
Okay.
Just forget about what happened.
Corey, real quick, put your fingers in your ears and just say, la, 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 la.
I'll turn my mic off then.
With a minute left, it was 119-111. In the final minute, the Mavericks turned the ball over 4 times and gave up an offensive rebound off an intentional Shea free throw miss that Lou Dort picked up. And I know it would have been an amazing shot.
Right.
But he had a shot with the ball in the air at the buzzer to turn an 8-point deficit with a minute left into a win.
We have to talk about it because for 46 minutes, that was the best basketball the Mavs have played all year. Even with Luka, they haven't played better basketball all year for a whole complete game. But if you include the last two minutes, but the last minute where you're getting very specific. Oh my gosh. It was just one game. I don't know if I ever want Najee Marshall or Jaden Hardy handling the ball with the game on the line.
Those turnovers are so bad.
Because those were the guys that you're like, what is going on? That being said, Kyrie did get tied up as he kind of picked up his dribble.
Is that Shea that tied him up?
Yeah, Lou Dort was guarding him, and then Shea came and helped and tied him up, and then you lost the tip. They called the timeout. You're just like, my gosh, how this is where Luka, I guess, where he's a ball hog. It helps out. He's a ball hog late in the game because he's probably going to take a step back fadeaway three.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have any ball movement, but you're not going to turn the ball over. You'll get a shot up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of.
And it could go in.
Because Najee, like I said in crosstalk, he's slipping all over the court like he can't guard somebody. He's slipping. He throws the ball into the second row of the stands. And that was over a 7'1" Derek Lively who can jump about to 13 feet high.
Yeah.
And I'm not making that number up.
That
so he
bad.
Threw the ball 14 feet high, a foot over Derek Lively's head jumping. And then why are you jump passing? It looked very much like Josh Green. Why are you jump passing in that situation to Derek Lively, who they actually want the ball in his hands to make a mistake or foul him? So then Najee comes back, he falls down, and you're like, how are this? It looked like a kid, you know, like just panicking. Then Shea hits the open three. Then he's dribbling and then falls down. Luckily, he didn't lose the dribble. But you're just like, my gosh, Najee. Like, I like him. I don't dislike him. I like him in the rotation. But that final minute, Najee Marshall looked like a 12-year-old.
And that's what we were told, right, by Pelicans fans. There could be moments where you're like, wow. And then other moments where you're like, what were you doing? So that happens. By the way, Kevin, both Dwight Powell and Jaden Hardy were +6 in their plus minus.
Let's go.
Which one deserves more playing time right
well,
now?
Well, I mean, Hardy had that. I would say Hardy, but he also had that turnover that I was like, the hell was that?
I will say it does make it tough watching the last two games, because right when you're ready to give up on Dinwiddie, he makes a couple big 3-point shots, and you're like, wait, maybe he should be in the rotation. And then the next three games, you're like, don't ever play him again. Like, there's a reason the Lakers sat his ass on the bench last year. Like, but you know, he does enough where he teases you into like, maybe he should be playing 20 minutes. And then the next three games, like, he should be playing 0 minutes. And Hardy does the same thing. He teases you in moments. You're like, he might be a 20-point guy off the bench if you just gave him the minutes. Or he might turn the ball over and do some really dumb things where you're like, dang it, Jaden.
I'd really like to see them turn it up in these next four games, because I would make an argument. You're going up against four teams that have all kind of struggled to find themselves. Denver has lost a couple. Now, Denver is the best of the bunch, but you've got Miami. They have struggled. You've got, obviously, New Orleans in that mix. They have struggled mightily. I understand injuries plays a part of all of this, but you're looking at a stretch for the Mavericks, who obviously they have struggled to find their identity themselves. But you have those games, and you throw Atlanta in the mix there as well. As it's not a murderer's row. Like, you have a pretty soft schedule coming up in the next week or so.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if the Mavs are going to. They didn't engage against San Antonio. They're just lucky that was such a, without Wimby, it's such a low-talented team, or a team that can't really compete in the NBA. And they were able to blow them out eventually. But you're just like, are you guys, if they engage, they could go on a 10-game winning streak.
I agree.
I still really think this is a good basketball team if they engage. But I hate picking on him. He didn't even play last night. But the leader of the team does not want to engage in a regular season. He needs something. He needs a referee to do something. He needs the embarrassment of the national media to be screaming and yelling at, like, why are you acting like a baby in this situation or doing this? And then he engages and he becomes the best player in the NBA. But he just doesn't want to be Larry Bird. He doesn't want to be Magic Johnson. He doesn't want to be Michael Jordan. He doesn't want to be Tim Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal or Kobe Bryant. In our lifetime, there were certain guys that for a 5 to 10 year period said, I'm going to be the best player in the league, and I don't care whose feelings I hurt. I don't care about anything except I want to be the best player in the world, and there will be nobody who can compete with it. And the people that compete with it, those will be the people I'll destroy the most. Luka doesn't have that attitude.
I agree.
He has more of a, in a weird way, a Shaquille O'Neal attitude. They're totally different players. But he definitely has a little bit more of Shaquille O'Neal personality, which drove Kobe crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how could you show up out of shape? How could you show up not ready? And Shaq's like, I don't care. We have to play 82 meaningless games, and I will be at my best in the playoffs. And Kobe couldn't understand that. And I think Luka has that Shaq attitude. I don't care about the regular season. I want my 30 to 40 points a game. I don't care. We'll win 50 games. I'm good enough to do it. I don't care about the one seed. I don't care about what people say about me. I'll be ready come playoff time. That's a scary thing to be.
Now, I wanted to go back to Saturday for just a second. I know it's not the most pressing issue, but Daniel Gafford, 22 points off the bench, most off the bench for a Mavs player this season, and actually more than the bench as a whole has scored in multiple games this season, which is both good and bad.
Are you serious?
Yes, so I am.
Here's the deal. It still works, even with professionals, as much as we say it's a new era of kids and young men and this and that. You know what? When you call them out publicly and they get embarrassed publicly by their leader, you can't do it all the time or you'll just lose the room. Jason Kidd called them out after that Phoenix game. They're pathetic. This bench stinks.
Yes.
There's no sugarcoating or hiding it. Now, your head coach who's leading your team said, you guys aren't good enough. And then pride kicks in and they're like, I don't want people talking about me like that. And then haven't they been better as a unit? Yes.
Absolutely. I agree.
You just got to watch how you do it, and you have to have security in your job. Jason Kidd has a lot of security in his job now with the extension, with making it to the NBA Finals. So I feel like Jason Kidd feels like he has a little bit more freedom to say what he said after that Phoenix game, and it has helped the bench players.
And I go to the 972 because it'll actually segue us if you want to get cut number 14 ready, Alec. Najee Marshall sounds like when the Stars signed Mason Marchment. At first, you're like, this is the worst signing. And then 3 years later, you're like, hell yeah, way to go, Jim Nill. With that in mind, give me cut 14.
Cut in. It's Steele, left wing side. Steele, backhand stop. Score on the follow-up. Mason Marchment has his second of the game, and Dallas gets the insurance they were looking for.
Now we're going to dive even more into the Stars tomorrow because they have another game this evening against the Ducks, but they defeated the Minnesota Wild on Saturday, and Jake Oettinger and the Stars continue to own Minnesota, which makes sense since we took their hockey team away to begin with. Jake Oettinger and the Stars, they're 8-0-3 in their last 11 regular season games against the Wild. So good on the Stars for getting another couple of points on the board. We got Mike Likes It coming up in just a minute, but we've talked a lot about Peace-a-thon today. It's a week from Wednesday, and Ryan has brought us from RJ Dukes in McKinney, has brought us several amazing things that we can auction off for Peace-a-thon. However, if you're like, I want to go to a shop. People ask if your shop is open now. I said yes, but it's not empty if that's what people are thinking since y'all are here. You still have people at the store now, right?
I would hope so.
Okay. That was not as confident as I was hoping. So hopefully you go to RJ Dukes and buy something because there are people working there.
Yes.
But you guys, we've been there in years past for Black Friday and had an extravaganza. I know that you guys are having some sales and extravaganzas on Black Friday. Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. Black Friday has been a big day for us at RJ Dukes Sports for ever since we started the store. This year, we are going to do the stereotypical big Black Friday blowout sale. We've even made an ad and everything.
Oh.
We've got sales going all day. Just for example, you buy cards from us? Absolutely. You want to buy some supplies? Well, we're going to have them 50% off that day. We're going to have any single card that you want under $25, that'll be 50% off that day. Any autographed memorabilia under $150, it'll be 50% off that day. And any of our clearance boxes, wax, packs, whatever, clearance items will be an extra 50% off that day.
50% off already the price?
The already clearance price, take another 50 off.
Can I help you out? Let's say you're a basketball fan.
Yes.
Last Black Friday, I bought some Optic and Prism boxes that were a year too old.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Cade Cunningham year of his rookie year.
Another triple-double for him.
And they were already discounted. So, yes. I mean, I don't know if you're going to have those type of things, but you probably will because you did last Black Friday.
Yep.
So I'm like, holy cow, like, I need to go to RJ Dukes.
So get there faster than Mike Bassett is what I'm hearing right now.
I've got even, here's the biggest one. We're doing doorbusters, just like, you know, all the big box stores do. We open early that day. We're going to open at 9 a.m. Doorbusters, while supplies last. Here's what we have. 23-24 Donruss Optic Basketball Mega Box will be only $29.99. They're normally $74.99.
It's like we're reading our minds.
2023.
So get there before Mike is really what I'm telling you.
Prism football hanger boxes will only be $14.99. Pokemon Stellar Crown Elite Trainer Box, $14.99.
Did Carter hear that?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Heritage Baseball Mega Box, $14.99.
You're Carter.
Composite Football Blaster, $9.99. Now, it is limit two per household here. So
bring your kids.
Do they live in the same household?
My daughter doesn't.
Well, okay. So
I would love to see that logistical debate where you're like,
looks like broken homes have advantage.
She lives in Austin.
Yeah.
She has an apartment in Austin.
All right. These are a lot of good deals. What time did you guys open up on Black Friday? And do I need to be there?
We'll open at 9 a.m. And Kevin, are you going to be there?
I will be there at 9 a.m. Because he gave a lot of stuff to Peace-a-thon. I feel like I need to help out.
Like, you're going to work?
I mean, if I get to run the register for a minute, that'd be neat.
And you can play NBA Jam there, too.
That is right. That is true.
Try your luck at the Keymaster.
You can. Absolutely. All right. So y'all open up at 9 on Black Friday, and doorbusters, they'll probably go fast.
They will go fast.
Because Mike's going to buy them. Or I'm going to say I'm going to be there to help.
The great news is I can only buy two.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Unless you bring your daughter up, which now I kind of think
now
is going
to
happen.
Now I'm going to have a 10-minute debate with Ryan. And
you can give me the money, and I can buy them for you.
Ooh. That's a good point.
We'll work something out.
He's actually sitting right here. He knows our plan now. Great.
We just want to say sorry to the flippers. Sorry to the breakers. The sale is not for you. It is for the collectors.
I like it.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. RJ Dukes in McKinney. Hey, Mike, do you think that Ryan knows that I'm showing up to get the deals, not just to be helpful?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that.
Yeah, don't tell. What? Did he hear
He's
that?
Sitting hey. Right there,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some football?
Woo!
It's a Monday night party. We got
You're not
going to
talk
Al
about football.
And Dan,
no, people aren't on the show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Hank Williams Jr.?
Isn't he canceled?
Oh, no. What did he do? I'm not going to answer that question now because I'm not
sure. We actually
sure.
had this discussion last week off air.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to answer that question anymore. But it is time for somebody who seems cancel-proof. It is Mike Bacsik, and Mike likes it.
Okay, so we are going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys here.
Oh.
Because.
Is this going to be sarcastic?
Maybe. Good news. The Carolina Panthers can't lose. They're two-game winners now. They've won two in a row.
Just like you predicted.
Did you know they announced that Bryce Young's going to start against the Chiefs? So.
Well, the Chiefs are on a losing trend right now.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they went from playing a really tall, physical quarterback. They're like, what if we do the total opposite and play a really small, non-physical quarterback?
Real quick, somebody asked, does RJ Dukes do gift cards? Yes, they do. And he'll also have $50 gift cards with all of his Peace-a-thon packages this year.
The New Orleans Saints. One, Carolina Panthers. I just talked about winning two.
Are you just tracking all this for draft status now?
Yes, I am. On tankathon.com before tonight's game, the Cowboys have moved from the 11th pick before this week started to the 9th pick.
Let's go.
In the NFL draft. If the Cowboys lose tonight, they will be tied with the Panthers at 3-7. That will be the 8-9 pick. In the draft, you do hold your own destiny now with that pick.
So hold on,
the pick of destiny.
Who on this show is rooting for the Cowboys to win tonight versus who's rooting for a better draft?
Just hope both teams have fun. You know, is what I'm kind of hoping for tonight as a fan.
I hope they play a game.
Yeah, hope it gets done in a reasonable amount of time.
Now. The Giants, you talked about them, you know, switching quarterbacks.
Yes. By the way, Drew Locke is going to be their backup now. So they have said, no, we're done. We're not risking the injury guarantee for Daniel Jones.
Or another win.
Here's what has to stink for the Giants. They had the number two pick before this week. They still lost. They now have the number five pick.
Yeah, how'd that happen? How'd they drop four spots?
Tennessee, who's lost two in a row now, went up to the number two pick. So I guess a lot of people are looking at it like this. Jacksonville doesn't look like they're going to win another game this year, to be honest. But they're not going to take a quarterback. They just gave, whether you like Trevor Lawrence or not, you can say, Mike, you're a dumb, you know.
It's the same. Yeah, they paid him.
I thought the dude who was a freshman quarterback at Clemson who won a national championship, I thought he was going to be great at football. I'm sorry I messed that one up.
Stupid
everybody,
idiot.
I remember during the draft, everybody was like, hey,
stupid too.
He should be a seventh rounder undrafted guy, that horrible Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. But they're not going to take a quarterback. Now, they could trade out of that pick. But for Tennessee, Cleveland, Las Vegas, and the New York Giants, they're all 2-8. They all have this in common. They all need a new quarterback. So in a way, now you could just trade up. Whoever, let's just say Jacksonville finishes with the worst record. You could look at it and go, all right, if you're the New York Giants and you end up with the fourth or fifth pick, you're like, we can just trade to one and get the quarterback.
Yeah.
Because the problem is Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, and New York, I think are all going to take a quarterback. Now, I don't know if you have a run of four in a row to start the draft.
Yeah.
Because are there four guys worthy of the top four picks? Sometimes the answer is no.
It doesn't feel like it right now.
It doesn't matter, though, right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Sometimes nothing against Trey Lance.
Or Ryan Tannehill's the person I always think of. I think he went like 8 or 9. I was like, get serious.
Right, because when a team is like, it doesn't matter who we take. If we don't have a quarterback, we're still going to keep losing. And then teams, I think, ultimately will make a mistake. Like, if you have Hunter from Colorado, let's just say Jacksonville didn't take him, or an unbelievable offensive lineman, just take the unbelievable offensive lineman. Guess what? We're going to stink again this year, too.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just look at it and go, okay, so looking at the draft and looking at the Cowboys, if they lose tonight, which I think they will, I did like Sean Sherry's score at 27 to 13. I thought 34 to 6. I was like, maybe it won't be that bad because I'm picking the exact same score as last week the Cowboys had. So, but I do think they're going to lose pretty easily, and I don't think it's going to be a very competitive game, especially the last 10 minutes of this game. But I'm just looking at it and going, what's up, Jets? Like, can't you win a game here and push yourself to four wins? We need you guys to win a game. I can't believe how bad they really are.
Yeah.
I can't believe how bad they are. So you look at the Cowboys real quick. I name the teams. Picking 1 through 5 are all 2 and 9 or 2 and 8. But picks 3 through 8 right now all have, and I'll include the Cowboys at 9, they all have 3 wins. So some of them are 3 and 8, 3 and 7. It just matters when your bye was. But if the Cowboys lose this game and then most likely go to Washington and lose, you could see yourself going into Thanksgiving against the Giants. You could see yourself right with them as having about the number 5 overall pick. Now, you have to go through everybody's schedule. And,
wow.
But what you're hoping for at this point now is you're hoping for those 8 teams ahead of you. Because I don't think the teams behind you, I don't think you have to worry about it. I'm going to name the teams directly behind you, and I don't think you have to worry about them. New Orleans, Cincinnati, Miami, Tampa Bay. I don't think you have to worry about any of those teams having a worse record than you at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get it.
So I'm looking at this and going, hey, if Las Vegas has to play Tennessee, I don't know their schedule. Somebody has to win that game. Yes, true. Somebody's going to get a loss, but somebody has to win that game. And I'm sure teams are looking at the Cowboys going, well, they do play the Giants and they play the Panthers. Those are two teams that record-wise right now are worse than the Cowboys. Somebody has to win those games. So when you're looking at getting a better draft pick, and I know in the NFL, it's not like the NBA, right? The NBA with 20 games to go, it doesn't matter. They've put in new rules and all these things. Teams just start intentionally losing as much as possible. Yes. Major League Baseball, it doesn't happen because your draft picks aren't going to matter. Like right now, looking at a mock draft, I've been looking at this because Jackson Holliday's brother, Ethan Holliday, is supposed to be, this is too extreme, but I'll say better. I'll just be okay. Better. Instead of saying okay. Way better, he's 6'4", 210 pounds. His brother, Jackson, who is the number one overall pick, is 5'10", 180 pounds out of high school. Like his younger brother is built like his dad. And that can happen. My older son is built more like my wife. He's a shorter kid. My 14-year-old is more like me, a taller kid. So I was just looking at that. But you're not tanking for Ethan Holliday because, first of all, there's a lottery. Second of all, he's going to be 3 to 5 years away from playing in the major leagues, and you're not even sure what position he'll end up being when he turns 21-ish when he finally makes the major leagues. But football doesn't tank, but I'm just wondering here with this situation, the Cowboys could find themselves on Thanksgiving morning as we're having our turkey trot in our neighborhood because we used to do
turkey?
Yeah, because my sister-in-law made nameplates for everybody, not nameplates, but like we were running in like a marathon or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But she accidentally, when she printed it out, put a T on the end. So we call it the turkey trot.
Uh-huh.
But it's great because we run in our neighborhood and there's not dog poop everywhere on the streets. Because the YMCA raises a lot of money for downtown Dallas, not for downtown Dallas, but for the YMCA.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Stuff. But man, the dogs that are pooping everywhere and all the people and all the strollers. Mm-hmm. It's not, to me, I just don't like that many people, like 100,000 people doing a turkey trot.
Gotcha.
So we created our own turkey trot.
Okay.
And I believe this is the 10th annual turkey trot. So I would like to invite you guys, if you would, on Thursday morning of Thanksgiving, if you wanted to go on a little jog, this is our jog. Corey might like this a little bit more than you. We jog for about a mile or walk it, maybe a mile and a half, and then we stop at a person's house and they have snacks and drinks and everything.
I think I remember you talking about this
now. And then we spend about 15 minutes and then we do our jog walk and we go back to our house and then we have snacks and drinks and then everybody disperses and goes along to their Thanksgiving afternoon slash night. But yeah, so that's the Turkit Trot that'll be happening next week, starting at the Bassac House, if you wanted to do it. But you guys don't live very close, so I know it's not maybe a very fun drive.
I think our definition of what is close and what is not is different.
Yeah, and Ryan lives in McKinney.
Yep.
So that's way too long of a drive.
But I am pro less dog poop.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Yeah. Was that a controversial statement?
I mean, it has to be.
Love to get a politician
a horrible,
campaigning on that.
Like, can you imagine? You start off your marathon and you step in dog crap.
Yeah, that's going to ruin your whole day. Yeah.
See, I actually think that would motivate me because I would just be finding creative ways to run and scrape the poop off while I was running. Because otherwise you're running, that's boring.
Yeah, you don't want to be yelling at parents with strollers like, get out of the way! Trying to PR here. That means
personal record.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was like, hold on.
You could see why people would be concerned about that, right?
It would screw me over, though, stepping in doggy do.
Well, I'll tell you what. To end Mike Likes It. Are you ready for some football? It's, by the way, if they lose.
But are we not supposed to sing that song anymore?
I don't know. I think isn't it who sings the song now? There's a lot of people.
Taylor Swift.
Stapleton. Carrie Underwood.
All those people.
It is. Sunday Night Football,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood. It's not as good as. Hank Williams Jr. was the best at the Monday Night Football song. Nobody's come close.
It was awesome. It was the coolest. Like, you knew once that music hit, you were like, all right, it's time.
You ever seen the Saturday Night Live one where I think it's. Who's the guy that was fat and died? Chris Farley.
Golly!
Well. He played Hank Williams Jr. on a Saturday Night Live skit where he's just drunk as a skunk and trying to lay down all the Monday night games for the season. It was really funny. That was a good 20 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe 25 years ago.
There you go. Mike Bassac, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if you've ever wondered how will he remember you, there's a quick Clips Notes. Who's that one guy who died? Chris Farley. Coming up next.
I added more to it than that.
Didn't you call him fat, too?
Yeah, he was.
Right.
Okay. It's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
The weekend's hits and misses plus a ring update next on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.